So chapter 4 to 9, we covered last time, so we can do a brief review. So what is that section about?
In text 5, you're saying we have to do karma because even if you think we are not doing karma, we can't, we are not doing karma. Every kshanam, every minute we are doing something, whether physically or mentally. Physically, we can restrain from doing it, but mentally, we'll be doing some karma, fantasizing what we will be doing, or what did happen, or what will happen in the future. So, we can't escape that. So, do the karma in the right spirit, right way. So, that's what is said in text 5. And then.
So, what is Arjuna's argument which Krishna is trying to defeat here?
Should I stop acting? So I don't get reaction.
Very good, yeah. So Arjuna is saying, I'm going to get reaction for every action I do, so I'll stop doing action. So that is his argument. Then Krishna is telling, even for a moment, we cannot be not acting. Why? Because?
Even inaction acts as...
What Krishna says exactly. Because?
Even for his body, you have to keep acting.
Because soul is always active, right? So soul is always active. It's in the purport, I think. It's not exactly what...
Fourth.
Yeah.
Fourth text.
Because soul is always active. It's the nature of the soul to be active. Then... So then, what else Krishna is saying? Hare Krishna? Yes, Madhuri. You want to share something?
Hello, Madhuri. I want to have
If we restrain from action and our mind dwelling on the objects, then he calls the person as Vidyachara, as a pretender.
Pretender.
So
what is the purpose, what is the essence of that verse? Or rather, you know, the continuation actually, 6 and 7 together, put together.
One who is not following Krishna consciousness and doing all the activities will have results like karma. And the one who is in Krishna consciousness and doing, even though he is fallen down also, that karma is it will help. If we are in Krishna consciousness, it will help. But if we are not in Krishna consciousness, it will not help.
It will not help, yeah.
So the point about being a pretender. We talked about that. You know, you delude yourself if you your mind is still on sense objects. So we talked about the definition of a pretender.
Mm-hmm.
And knowledge has no value if it is it's taken away by illusory energy.
So essentially from 6 to 7 put together, if you see, Krishna is trying to tell like somebody who acts as if they are renounced, no? They can go take away a sannyasi dress or something, acting as if renounced, but they are not pure enough. They stop all the so-called, you know, external activities, but they remain pretender because it's given a chance, they can tempt it to sense gratification. But rather, Krishna is encouraging us to be a sincere follower of Krishna consciousness, wherever we are. Understand that, you know, I have certain attachments, everything. Start from there, but sincerely follow Karma Yoga, Krishna consciousness. Krishna says, this person is much more superior. So essentially, he is saying a dutiful householder is better than a mithyachari sannyasi.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the point he is trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
Together, we can understand these two verses together. Then, we can see clearly what Krishna is recommending. No, like very nicely, he is telling in verse number 7. If a sincere person tries to control the active senses by the mind and begins karma yoga without attachment, he is by far superior. So he may not be completely free right now, but still, because he is sincerely endeavoring on the right path, he is much better, according to Krishna.
Hari Bol Mataji.
Yes, Hare Krishna Prabhu.
We have 2 points here.
Yes, Prabhu, please share.
Taking to quick renunciation before one is qualified may be an attempt to acquire subtle sense gratification through profit, adoration and distinction. So Krishna mockingly contrasts this pseudo renunciation with the honest attempt at purification through the regulations of Karma Yoga.
Mm.
And secondly, you know what I'm saying? We should always act according to our level of position and never try to imitate higher levels without purification, and thus follow the guidance of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra.
Yeah. Yeah, because many times we know, we ask, right? Am I ready at that level, or, you know, am I ready to... So it's always, you know, we should ask our neighbor, you know, can I do this? Prabhu, I'm advanced enough to do this. No, Prabhu is saying, you know, the three check, it's
what
called...
The levels, yeah. What would be striving for a level that you are not competent to do?
Yeah, so essentially acting to be more advanced than we are.
Acting.
Essentially, it's same like this Mithyachari, like, you know, or internally feeling ourselves, you know, oh, actually, I'm ready, you know, I can quit job, or, you know, I can, you know, leave my wife now, I can take sannyas. That's extreme, but, or maybe, you know, I can now start doing more, dedicate more time in temple, not take care of my household work, or some things like that, you know, we can understand. I'm trying to see. Or, you know, I'm now ready to go for a party which my friend calls. Because I know I can I can resist the food there, or, you know, whatever, right? No, it's okay, you know, I want to give association, I don't want to take. But if you do that very often, we'll know what happens. So that those things, you know, we can find out. So that's what Prabhu is saying, you know, there are three cross-check balance actually. Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. All of them has to be in line, saying the same thing always.
Guru is okay. What is Sadhu?
Sadhu is all the devotees, like Vaishnavas, whom we, you know, respect, and Shastra is scriptures.
Okay, so Shastra is.
Yeah. So, yeah, very nice. Prabhu and Mataji, you know, they are sincerely following Krishna consciousness. They are from Portland and they are initiated, everything. That's, and they happened to be in Seattle last week. So then that's when we took exam. So they came to our home, took exam. So we had nice, you know, katha with them. And then we were requesting them, please share, you know, we will get a lot of benefit from hearing from them. So
what are the three names? Guru,
Sadhu and Shastra.
Shastra.
Yeah. Okay. So text number 8 we covered, right? Yeah, where Krishna is saying one cannot even maintain one's physical body without work.
And you have to do your
prescribed duty. Yes. Yeah. So what is Arjuna's prescribed duty?
He's
a Kshatriya and he's also a Grihastha. So, you know, as a Grihastha he has to earn his livelihood. Okay, then what is the conclusion of Karma Yoga? Text number 9. So Krishna now says, you know, how the work has to be done in such a way that it doesn't cause bondage. So what is the way it has to be done?
Sacrifice.
Work has to be done as sacrifice to Vishnu. Yagnanarthat karmano anyatra. Otherwise, what happens anyatra? Causes
bondage.
So this, I was hearing one lecture where Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj, he was sharing. It's like if, you know, yatras when we go, right? Many times Vrindavan people walk barefoot. Sometimes thorn gets stuck. So we try to remove the thorn with so many ways. But what's, you know, usually many people, what they do? They take another thorn to remove the thorn. So this thorn of activity is actually causing us bondage because we are doing it for sense gratification. But the same activity when done for the pleasure of Vishnu can cause us liberation. So one thorn is causing pain, but other thorn is releasing us from pain. So like that. It's just the change of consciousness. So it's not that we should stop acting. No, it's not. We have heard so many times, right? But we have to find out how to connect that to Krishna consciousness. If at all that those activities can be connected, and how to do it in Krishna consciousness. Okay. So So any more points from last class? So we'll continue today's section. So we'll try to see if we can cover this section. So this section 10 to 16.
One question actually, more just, and we've had this discussion in the past. So when you do work as a sacrifice, I can see, is that just as you offer it to Krishna? Is that what we are saying?
Yes.
Every day at work or whatever.
So, you say
this is offered to Krishna before you go into a meeting or after the meeting. It seems very irrelevant, right? Meaningless. I'm asking.
So we like, many levels we can connect, right? Work. One is like, I'm just maintaining my job so that I can take care of my family. So as it at a bigger picture, that is a sacrifice to Vishnu.
Yes.
Right? In other, if you have to go so much detail about meetings, all those things, then how am I representing myself as a Krishna conscious person in those situations? That's how I serve Krishna. No, I am actually now a representative of Krishna at workplace. So, we used to wear tilak and go to work, right? So, somehow people identify, okay, they are devotees. Even otherwise, the qualities come out. If we are really Krishna conscious, those qualities come out. People will appreciate our sincerity, honesty, so many things, right? And if they appreciate us, they are appreciating Krishna. So, they come closer to Krishna. So at that level, we can strive to perform. Like many times you have to make choice, right? Okay, this person is cheating. Okay, what am I supposed to do? No, like that, right? So then we have to make a choice. Am I going to act in a Krishna conscious way or go with the flow and, do what everybody does? Okay. So 10 to 16, this section is where Krishna is talking about Karmakanda section of the Vedas. So he gives a brief review of Karmakanda section and then leading up to Karma Yoga. So here we talk about demigods, Karmakanda. So many times we heard about that. So let's see what happens. Text number 10.
प्रजा सृष्ट्वा पुरोवाच प्रजापति अनेन प्रसविष्यत्वम् एष्वश्वाश्च कामदुक् सह यज्ञा प्रजा सृष्ट्वा पुरोवाच प्रजापति अनेन प्रसविष्यत्वम् एषवोऽस्वश्च कामदुक्
In the beginning of creation, the Lord of all creatures sent forth generations of men and demigods along with sacrifices for Vishnu and blessed them by saying, Be thou happy by this yajna sacrifice because its performance will bestow upon you everything desirable for living happily and achieving liberation. So here if you see the verse, what Krishna is telling is in the beginning of the creation, the moment where all the living entities were created, that time itself, along with creating men, he also created demigods and also the sacrifices in such a way that by performing these sacrifices, the men will live happily in this life and eventually lead to liberation. So this is actually the gradual process. So Krishna has created a system where people with material desires can live happily in this world, striving to, somehow or the other fulfill their material desires, at the same time make progress in the path of liberation. So this is the yajna, Karmakanda sacrifices in the Karmakanda section of the Vedas. So this is a gradual process.
Mother, in the beginning of creation, is it literally the start of creation?
It means like, it's not beginning of this, universe kind of thing.
Mm.
The moment where everybody is, created kind of thing. we cannot, we are all ever existing.
Yeah, I
understand. Like, it's not a
chemical material world, you can say. It's like chemical material world.
No, it's in the, it's eternal, like, you know, it's a beginning before anything can, not this universe.
Not falling down.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
But Mataji, why is there no reference to soul? It is about...
Soul?
There is no, like, lot of operations said for
main.
Generations of men and...
Men
is individual, living entity.
But there is a soul that is eternal. So what is being... So who is the Lord addressing? It's addressing the... The man or the soul within minutes. Why is the Lord addressing some physical?
Physical?
Why is the Lord addressing? I mean, soul is an eternal thing, like
yes.
It came from. Like, so why is there?
So what Krishna is saying is like.
In the beginning of creation, there were souls, right?
Yes.
And there was no human being and.
Souls.
But the Lord should be addressing souls. So.
But souls are embodied, right? Souls are in the material creation, souls are embodied, they have some form. In the spiritual world, souls have spiritual body, but in the material creation, souls have material body. So, you know, Krishna is calling them men, but it can be men and women. Somebody can say, where is woman?
so
this
is about spiritual world.
No, this is the material, like, this is about what is the process of going back to Godhead in the material world. But this creation is not the creation of this universe or creation of this world or creation of this earth. This creation is a creation of the whole. It's like, you know, beginning when the living entities are created kind of thing. If you can say there is a point where they are created.
Yeah, because that makes sense, right? He's saying along with demigods,
yes.
Right? So that means that all the creatures are created, some are demigods, some are just...
So but when they're created,
let me say something, maybe it helps. So essentially, he's talking about that Karmakanda section of the yagyas sacrifices were also, along with the sacrifices for Vishnu, right? So sacrifices are part of Karmakanda section of Vedas. So Vedas are coming out from the breath of Vishnu. So that is at that point. So in the Vedas, Karmakanda section of the Vedas have the sacrifices. So in the breath of Vishnu has the Vedas. So it's at that point, not like, you know, then this universe is created, certain sacrifices are created, and this universe is created, certain sacrifices are created. It's not like that. Is it okay? I don't know.
Yeah. The reason for the question was, we said like everyone started as Brahma, right?
Yeah.
But then at the time of creation, men and demigods were created. That's why I was just confusing.
Yeah, everyone is born as a Brahma, but... Then he's also a man, he's part of men, right? Like
but
demigods.
He's men and demigods. So
yeah. Because some living entities. How can everyone be Brahma, you're saying?
Mm. And men at the same time. Yes? Like, no.
Demigods.
Because there is a phase where, for some period, living entities go into a, free state, and then they come back again.
Yeah.
At that time they may take different body.
Okay.
It's not that they always take Brahma.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. That phase is
it. Yeah. Okay, we'll read some sections of the purport. We can start with the first, the material creation. You can read it.
The material creation by the Lord of creatures, Vishnu, is a chance offered to the conditioned soul to come back home. Back to Godhead. All living entities within the material creation are conditioned by material nature because of their forgetfulness of their relationship to Vishnu or Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Vedic principles are to help us understand this eternal relation. And as it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that the purpose of Vedas is to understand Him.
Okay, we can pause there. So if we, like I was trying to, you know, Prabhu was telling when we were studying that when we read like purports, you know, we can make a point in each paragraph, you know, what's the main point of the paragraph. So if you see this section, what we read, the point is, what is the purpose of creation? I mean, many times somebody asks, right, why creation? That Mataji was asking, what is the name? Divya Mataji, right? No, she was telling some other reason why creation is there. But if you see clearly, it's very clear why there is creation in the first place. So creation, material creation is a chance for the conditioned souls to go back home, back to God. So it's like a place. It's like a place for them to go and try to enjoy. And then eventually when they want, they can come back home. There's also a path to come back home. And for that there is Vedas. And then Prabhupada is telling, and the purpose of Vedas is to understand Krishna. So that's why we'll come eventually to Krishna consciousness. Yeah. We can continue, Prabhu. Next, we can go a little later after this verse. The Lord created this material world.
Next verse.
Okay, now if you see the point here mentioned in the next section is why there are yajñas. So the Lord created this material world.
The Lord created this material world to enable the conditioned souls to learn how to perform yajñas, sacrifices for the satisfaction of Vishnu. So that while in the material world, they can live very comfortably without anxiety, and after finishing the present material body, they can enter into the kingdom of God. That is the whole program for the conditioned soul. By performance of yajna, the conditioned soul gradually becomes Krishna conscious and become godly in all respects.
You can pause there. So now we know why there are yajnas, right? So yajnas are a way that somebody can, you know, live comfortably in this life and gradually make progress towards kingdom of God. Yeah. So that's why there are yajnas. So the second point of the second paragraph is why there are yajnas. So we know the point. It's such a way that there is a gradual path for somebody to go back home, back to God.
In the same lifetime, that's what they mean, or gradual?
Gradual means it may be many lifetimes, yes. Of course, for Krishna consciousness, it may be one lifetime. But if you follow yajñas, it may be many lifetimes. Yeah, that's why here, you know, eventually actually, you know, and achieving liberation, Krishna says in the verse, right? That may be eventually, it may not be this life. We can continue the... Now, the third point in the purport is, what is the recommended yajna of this age? That's what Prabhupada is going to cover in the last section of the purport.
In the age of Kali, the Sankirtana yajna, the chanting of names, the chanting of the names of God is recommended by the Vedic scriptures. And this transcendental system was introduced by Lord Chaitanya for the deliverance of all men in this age. Sankirtana yajna and Krishna consciousness go well together. Lord Krishna in his devotional form as Lord Chaitanya is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam as follows, with special reference to the Sankirtana Yajna.
Krishna Varnam Tvisha Krishnam Sangopangastra Parshadam Yajna Sankirtana Prayal Yajantihi Sumidasha.
In this age of Kali, people who are endowed with sufficient intelligence will worship the Lord, who is accompanied by his associates by performance of Sankirtana Yajna. Other yajnas prescribed in the Vedic literature are not easy to perform in this age of Kali. But the Sankirtana Yajna is easy and sublime for all purposes, as recommended in Bhagavad Gita also.
So here Srila Prabhupada is making a point, you know, what is bringing it down to us. Okay, we know yajnas are there, like, you know, by performing yajna, gradually we go back to God. So what does it mean for us? Then Prabhupada is telling, in this age of Kali, Sankirtana Yajna, which is inaugurated by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is the recommended way, which is chanting the holy names. So everybody knows what is Sankirtana? So there is Japa. Japa is we chant, you know, softly, and we try to hear chanting, and individually, right? Maybe, you know, we go into a reception room and chant. Then next stage is Kirtan. Kirtan will come together in the temple with devotees, which sing holy names of the Lord. And Sankirtan is mostly, you know, going out and giving Krishna to others. Like, you know, we do Harinams on the road, right? Sankirtan, it's like the complete glorification of the Lord. So by bringing everyone together, it's a complete glorification of the Lord. So it's called actually, you know, perfect, more perfect and most perfect. Japa itself is perfect. But we do Kirtan together, it's more perfect. We do Sankirtan, you know, especially Rath Yatra and all, right? We get so much bliss when we share Krishna consciousness with others. It's most perfect. Any points to share? Yeah, so we'll go to the next verse then.
देवान् भावयतानेन ते देवा भावयन्तु वा परस्परं भावयन्तः श्रेया परम् अवाप्स्यता देवान् भावयतानेन ते देवा भावयन्तु वा परस्परं भावयन्तः श्रेया परम् अवाप्स्यता The demigods, being pleased by sacrifices, will also please you. And thus, by cooperation between men and demigods, prosperity will reign for all. So here actually, the next two verses, Krishna, like 11 and 12 actually, Krishna is trying to say, tell us how this, because he told earlier, right, in text number 10, that they live happily. Men are going to live happily and then eventually, they will achieve liberation. So Krishna here is telling how they can satisfy their desires. So they have some material desires. So what is the system by which they satisfy their material desires? Text 11 and 12 cover that answer. Basically, it's the Karmakanda mechanism. How they can fulfill their desires. So what Krishna is telling in text number 10 is the demigods, when we offer yajna to demigods, they will be pleased. Because they are pleased, so they will offer the results back, like rain, food, water, everything, back to the men. So because of this cooperation between men and demigods, prosperity will reign. That's how it works.
But why did the Lord, I mean, I come confused, why didn't the Lord tell them about Krishna consciousness in the very beginning? Like, why is the Lord good? Like,
so the thing is, that's why, you know, especially this is meant for people who still have material desires. So not everybody can directly take up Krishna consciousness. So for them, there is a gradual path. That's the Karmakanda section of the Vedas, where gradually, you know, they at least follow the Vedic mechanism of sacrifices and still submitting to some authority. So they get purified. At the same time, have a bona fide way to fulfill their desires and eventually get purified. But as Prabhupada says in purport, if somebody is already ready or accepting Krishna as Supreme Personality of Godhead, they need not go through this gradual process. Like we discuss this example, right? Somebody is a drunkard. Srila Prabhupada says, if he's so addicted to drinking, while drinking, if he says this water, Krishna says, I have a taste of water, right? That's so upset. So if the drunkard, no, while drinking liquor, he thinks, oh, this is Krishna, it's so wonderful, he's making advancement. But at the same time, doesn't mean all of us should drink liquor and, you know, remember Krishna like that, right? We may be at a higher level where we should probably be giving up those things. So that's the thing. So there, like, you know, mathematics, right? There are different levels of mathematics. 1 plus 1 is equal to 2 is also mathematics. At the same time, algebra is also mathematics, right? Somebody who already knows algebra, he need not again start learning 1 plus 1 is equal to 2. So like that. So depending on, you know, our state, that's why, you know, gradually they can take up. There is a way in which even those people can be accommodated in such a way that they can eventually come to Krishna. That's his mercy. Like for example, I was trying to see practical example, right? In a temple, right, we welcome everyone, right? Of course, we have four regulative principles, everything, you know, but then upfront when somebody comes, we don't start telling, you know, oh, you're eating meat, don't come into the temple, right? We say, okay, come, you do whatever you are interested, you do service or whatever you want, eat prasadam at least, something, right? Then eventually they will figure out, oh, actually, you know, I want to come closer to Krishna, then I have to stop these things, then I will learn, right? Gradually, if they want, they will take up. So like that. So they start from where they are.
Okay, Krishna. So like if you put... if you do sacrifices and all, demigods will be happy. Right? And then like prosperity will be there. So we generally say like whatever you need to get based on your previous karma, you get it, right?
Mm.
So then is it ever validating that, like not validating but whatever, just are we bypassing that by we, like let's say we pray a demigod. If he's happy. So does that mean he can, we have to go through the karma whatever we had, right? So you understand my question? How, like prosperity is there. It could be based on your previous karma, not be praying to demigod now, right?
So essentially what happens is, there's a tricky thing here. According to our karma, we are going to get what we are going to get. But according to that karma, you are supposed to do that sacrifice in order to get that. You got it? See, suppose we are supposed to get, like I was just thinking, like I quit my job, right? We are we have a certain amount of, you know, quota of money we are supposed to get actually in the lifetime. So for that, sometimes we have to work to get it. According to my karma, I'm supposed to get it. But according to my karma, I'm going to work in order to get it. It's not that I sit idle and I'll get it like that. So similarly, according to my karma, if I'm going to get a certain thing from a certain demigod, according to my karma, I will do that sacrifice. I will be inspired to do that sacrifice. It's not that, got it?
Yeah.
Then everybody will get
it. Yeah. And the other thing is, demigods, whatever they are giving, they are not whole and soul authority of what they are giving, right? It's coming from Krishna. So in the communist, that during that this thing, you know, they were trying to, you know, change people to Christianity. So they went to that place where people are suffering from, you know, lack of food. So then this, and everybody were Christian, you know, they were praying to church religiously, everything in the church. So then they said, okay, you pray to Jesus to give daily bread. See what happens. So then they prayed, and then next day they came and said, okay, did you get bread? Say, no, we didn't get bread. So then they said, okay, you pray to us, communists. Then he said, oh, we prayed, and then, okay, next day they came with helicopters and they gave bread. See, you prayed to us, we gave bread. You stop praying to your God and you know, start, join our movement. So the point there is, actually they prayed to God and God used the communists to give them the bread. But they think, you know, they created the bread and they are giving the bread. So that's a point. So similarly, you know, demigods give those things. But actually it's coming from Krishna. So that's why later on Krishna says, if we worship demigods thinking they are the whole and soul authority, it's avidhi purvakam. He says, you know, it's improper worship. So the details, some more detailed discussion about demigods is in 7th chapter. We can just read through the... Okay, let's first briefly discuss about, understand the concept about demigods, so that everybody's in the same picture. So everybody understands, you know, whom we call demigods or who are they. Okay, I'll just summarize. So so demigods are also called devatas, right? These are actually administrators of the universe. So like, for example, Indra, Chandra, right? They're in charge of certain thing in the material conduction. Like, you know, somebody is in charge of rain, somebody is in charge of wind, somebody is in charge of fire, like that.
So Ganesha is not demigod?
Ganesha is also demigod.
What is he in charge of?
Okay, I don't know. So he should be doing, you know, it's, I don't know what exactly, but
Vignanash.
But there are like ministers. Like if Krishna is a prime minister or, you know, president, then they are like different departments and they are in charge of different departments and they conduct the whole creation. So there are different set of demigods for each universe. So there are many demigods. So demigods is actually nothing but a post, like Brahma, right? It's a position. Somebody who, a pious living entity who is very qualified, can take that position. Like Indra, right? In Brahma, they can take that position. So they are not eternal. So the end of material creation, they also, you know, have to take birth again. So similarly, when we worship them, we will not get eternal benefits. Got it? It's, if you try to say it in a bluntly, worship of demigods is no better than worship of cinema actors these days. You know, these days we create you know, temples for cinema actors and worship them, right? This is at a little bit extra level, but otherwise it's no different because they are also mortal. If you have to say it bluntly. But then they are doing the their part of helping Krishna in the material creation, you know, conducting the material affairs. But at the same time, they are not pure devotees. So they also have some desires. So that's why Krishna, you know, that's why this cooperation works. It's like, you know, I scratch your back, you scratch my back. So men will, you know, please the demigods, you know, please, you know, this one, offer this prayer, this thing. Demigods, oh, I'm so happy, you know, somebody's worshipping me, you know, I have so many followers. Then they'll be so satisfied and they give. But at the same time, you know, whatever we have to get, we can get even from Krishna. Krishna is like a father, but Krishna gives after. Does Krishna give immediately whatever we want?
No, he will see if the result is good for him or not.
Yeah. So he will give what we need, not what we want.
Yeah.
So what we need for our Krishna consciousness. So one example is like some child, you know, he got somehow 10 rupees and he wants to go to a shop and he saw somebody, you know, shop where they're selling cigarettes. Goes to shopkeeper and said, oh, 10 rupees, sir, give me cigarette. And he knows that shopkeeper, you know, there only says smoking is injurious to health. He knows, so shopkeeper also knows. And small child is asking. But shopkeeper says, okay, I'm getting money, you know, it doesn't matter to me. Okay, it's up to that boy. But the same boy goes to his father and says, you know, Papa, I have 10 rupees. Now give me some cigarette. Papa will give a slap. So like that, Krishna is like our father. Because the demigods have a business relationship with us. Give and take. No, you give me something, I'm going to give you something. But whereas Krishna has loving relationship with us. So Krishna was going to give only when what we, it's beneficial for us in Krishna consciousness. So that's a brief review about demigods. So we can read these verses in 7th chapter where Krishna gives some more, you know, details about 7.20. 7.20 to 23. I will read the translation. Those whose intelligence has been stolen by material desires surrender unto demigods and follow the particular rules and regulations of worship according to their own natures. So essentially what Krishna is telling is people who worship demigods are less intelligent. But whereas if you see here, you know, the Sumedasha, the verse we read right in text number 10, the Sanskrit verse, Sumedasa is sufficient intelligence. So most intelligent people worship Krishna directly. But whereas Krishna is telling less intelligent, they surrender to demigods. And they worship according to their natures. So based on, you know, whether mode of goodness, passion and ignorance, there are certain demigods we will be inclined to worship. And text number 21, Krishna is saying, I am in everyone's heart as a super soul. As soon as one desires to worship some demigod, I make his faith steady, so that he can devote himself to that particular duty. So who is giving the faith? Krishna himself is actually allowing that person to worship a particular demigod. So unless Krishna inspires, that also cannot happen. See how he is facilitating us to fulfill our desires. Text number 22. Endowed with such a faith, he endeavors to worship a particular demigod and obtains his desires. But in actuality, these benefits are bestowed by me alone. Krishna is very clearly telling, actually, I only bestow them. And they think certain demigod is giving it. Text number 23. Men of small intelligence worship the demigods and their fruits are limited and temporary, because demigods themselves are not eternal. So whatever they can give is within this material purview. Those who worship the demigods go to the planets of demigods. Right? Very clear. But my devotees ultimately reach my supreme planet. So it doesn't mean, you know, I worship Ganesha whole life. No, that also will take me to Krishna. They say etopat, tatopat, some verse, you know, all paths lead to the same goal. That's another philosophy people say usually. Whatever I do, eventually, you know, I'll go to Vaikuntha. But that's not what Krishna is saying. Whomever you worship, that's what destination you're going to attain. See, whole life we meditate on certain cinema actor, then hopefully next life we'll become a, you know, servant of cinema actor, or we don't know what happens. Right? So similarly, whole life we worship a particular demigod, we are going to attain that particular demigod's planet. Yeah. So that gives, you know, brief, you know, whole system of what happens with demigods. Okay, we didn't read the purport yet, right? We'll read the second paragraph. Performance of yajnas.
performance of Vignas as many side benefits, ultimately leading to liberation from material bondage. By performance of Vignas, all activities become purified, as it is stated in the Vedas, Ahara Suddhav, Sattva Suddhihi, Sattva Suddhav, Dhruva Smriti Smriti, Smritihi Smriti Lambe, Sarva Grantinam, Sarva Grantinam Vipra Mokshaha. By performance of Yajna, one's eatables become sanctified, and by eating sanctified foodstuff, one's very existence becomes purified. By the purification of existence, finer tissues in the memory become sanctified, and when memory is sanctified, one can think of the path of liberation, and all these combined together lead to Krishna consciousness, the great necessity of present day society.
So here in this verse, Srila Prabhupada is telling us how yajnas will eventually lead to Krishna consciousness. If you have to make a note, you know, what is this about? How yajnas will lead to liberation. Because Krishna is telling in verse number 10, right? These yajnas will eventually lead to liberation, right? So how does it work? So Prabhupada is telling, or the verse is telling in the Vedas, that by doing yajnas, our eatables become sanctified. That means we are no more, yeah, later Krishna says actually we are thief, we don't do it. So eatables become sanctified means they are purified. By eating sanctified foodstuff, so you can write a chart like this. No, one leads to other. By eating sanctified foodstuff, an existence becomes purified. When purification of existence, finer tissues of memory become sanctified, and then when memory is sanctified, then one can think of liberation. Then we'll start thinking about, you know, what's the right path for liberation, which is Krishna consciousness.
How is this different from when eatables become sanctified? Is that like prasadam?
Yeah.
Same
thing. So it becomes, yeah, yajna. Right now we do sankirtan yajna, right? So essentially we will become a bona fide existent, bona fide person. So we have certain obligations for people, right? When we live, you know, by birth. So by performing yajnas, we fulfill their, essentially we pay the tax. We are getting so many resources like, you know, air, water, fire, so many things we are using from nature. So we are supposed to pay our tax. So by paying our tax, we have a bona fide existence. Then that's how our food becomes sanctified.
So here yajnas are to demigods.
Yeah. But same point applies to sankirtan yajna. If you do sankirtan yajna also, then same thing happens. Somebody is saying something.
Here yajna means offering.
Yajna is
like, is mentioned here.
No, by molding your life, by performing yajnas, eatables are sanctified. Means like, whatever you acquire from the nature becomes sanctified. Means like you are you know, authorized to take it.
Is the question like, do you do some fire yajna? No. What kind of yajna is
yajnas is part of the karma kanda, right? They're different things. Like for example, you know, worship to Kali and those kind of yajnas.
Oh.
Krishna is talking about karma kanda section of yajnas. But Prabhupada is bringing this down to us, which means sankirtan yajna.
So here, yajna means sankirtan yajna?
For us, it's sankirtan yajna. But what Vedas, or you know, there are different types of yajnas mentioned in the Karmakanda section of the Vedas. Like for example, if you want to eat meat, you have to do worship, do particular process of worship to Kali, then you eat meat. There is different yajna to get a good wife, there is a different yajna to get a good son, like that, different things are there. Just by doing that, your existence will be purified, that's what the point is. But the past Prabhupada is telling in the last verse, we cannot do all those yajnas, so what we do is sankirtan yajna. So if you do sankirtan yajna also, same thing happens.
Every day we don't do sankirtan yajna, right? So we offer to God. So it's part of
that's
the
part of sankirtan yajna.
Okay, it's part of sankirtan.
Yeah. Okay, text number. We'll go to the next verse then. So Arjuna may be thinking, you know, oh, I have to perform the yajnas, right? In order to just live here because I'm acquiring so many things from nature, I have to perform yagya. So Arjuna is saying, you know, but I'm not going to do any activity. I'll go to forest and live by begging. So then I don't need to, you know, I don't owe anything to demigods. I don't need to do yagya. So I'll be safe. But then Krishna is declaring why that is wrong. No, he says, in charge of various necessities of life, the demigods, being satisfied by the performance of yagya, will supply all necessities to you. But he who enjoys such gifts without offering them to the demigods in return is certainly a thief. So you'll be called a thief, because even in the forest, you are actually utilizing nature's resources. So then you are supposed to do something back to the demigods. If you don't do it, then you are a thief. Stena. So these days, you know, actually we covered that Prabhu knows this verse, Om Purnamadam verse, right? The whole creation is complete in itself. It has everything, whatever is needed, earth, water, fire, everything is there. All, you know, food. But there are many places there is, you know, drought or, you know, there is no rain, so many things. Why it happens? Because there is no sufficient yagyas. Not everybody is doing it. Nobody, who is doing yagyas as mentioned in the Vedas? And who is, so many people are doing Sankirtan yagyas? If that is the easiest way to do yagyas. So there is in that lecture I was reading, Prabhu was talking about, you know, so we have to pay tax because we acquire so many things from nature, right? So there are two ways to pay tax. One is, or you know, to avoid paying tax. One is tax evasion or tax avoidance. There are two ways. Tax evasion means try to skip, you know, somehow illegally try to change our, you know, or statistics in such a way that, you know, I don't owe tax. Many people use some, they have different ways in illegally tax evasion, we avoid tax. So that is where we don't perform yagyas and try to, you know, somehow live by. Tax avoidance is like we have a bona fide way, legally we avoid tax. Like, you know, we can put it to some, you know, this HSA or so many ways, right, where we save tax, or, you know, kids' education, putting money for that, or so many bona fide ways where we can avoid the tax. So Krishna is giving us tax avoidance. Krishna is saying, if you worship me, you don't need to worship all these demigods. Just worship me. As we say, right, the demigods are also, they're different limbs of the Lord. They're like different branches of the tree. So we can get fruits from different branches, but we water the root. So if you serve Krishna, then automatically demigods will be pleased. At the same time, whatever we need to get, we'll get from Krishna. Yeah, so that's what Prabhupada is going to clarify more, who are demigods and all. So we'll read like 6 lines below in the purport. According to the different material qualities of persons, text number 12.
According to the different material qualities of the persons concerned, different types of yagnas are recommended in the Vedas. Worship of different demigods is also on the same basis, namely according to different qualities. For example, the meat eaters are recommended to worship the goddess Kali, the ghastly form of material nature. And before the goddess, the sacrifice of animal is recommended. But for those who are in mode of goodness, the transcendental worship of Vishnu is recommended. But ultimately, all yagyas are meant for gradual promotion to the transcendental position. For ordinary men, at least 5 yagyas, known as Panch Mahayagya, are necessary.
So here what we see is that, you know, Vedas are also divided according to the modes of the persons, and accordingly, you know, based on our modes, we perform particular yagyas, like who are eating meat and all. There is section of the Vedas for the mode of passion. They follow that and worship. Accordingly, they worship certain demigods based on the nature.
So
but
what are Panch, 5 yagyas?
I don't know. Maybe if we search on Vedabase or something, we'll be able to figure out. So, but then as Prabhu was telling, right, you know, why we have this gradual process, why not give Krishna consciousness? So what Prabhupada is telling here is, but who are in the mode of goodness, for them Vishnu worship is recommended. So they don't need to go to a lower stage and start worshipping everybody else. Okay, so we'll continue with the next section. one should know?
One should know, however, that all the necessities of the life that the human society requires are supplied by the demigod agents of the Lord. No one can manufacture anything.
We can pause there, Prabhu. So rest of the purport, what rest of the section, what Shri Prabhupada is telling is that, you know, vegetables, milk, sugar, all these things are actually given by demigods. Nobody can manufacture anything. So actually we owe to demigods. So we can go a little below and then where Prabhupada is like, actually all of which are supplied by the agents of the Lord. It's like very below.
All of which are supplied by the agents of the Lord with the purpose that we should make proper use of them to keep them ourselves fit and healthy for the purpose of self-realization, leading to the ultimate goal of life, namely the liberation from the material struggle for existence.
Mm.
This aim of life is attained by performance of yajnas. If we forget the purpose of human life and simply take supplies from the agents of the Lord for sense gratification and become more and more entangled in material existence, which is not the purpose of creation, certainly we become thieves and therefore we are punished by the laws of material nature.
Yeah, we can pause there. So we got it, all these supplies are created so that we can, you know, somehow maintain our lives and gradually use our life for spiritual path. But if we don't do it, then we are supposed to suffer. No, because we are not, we are called miserly persons, right? We are not utilizing life properly. And also Krishna is calling us, you know, thieves. And also we have to suffer, you know, Krishna, Prabhupada is telling here, we will be punished with the loss of material nature. Means, the moment of death, when we go to Yamaraja, he is going to take tax. So
you're saying here that either you follow the yajnas and appease the demigods, or you go to Krishna consciousness.
Yeah.
Anything else is?
Yeah, anything else is even more lower actually, sense gratification. Yeah. Correct. Because at least if you follow this Karmakanda section of the Vedas, eventually that's also Krishna's system. We're submitting to Krishna's system, so we are going to get benefited. Eventually, you know, eventually we'll come to Krishna. But even below that is just whimsically trying to just grab everything and enjoy. That's, you know, that's nowhere in Krishna's system. Yeah, the Prabhupada says, right? A society of thieves.
Society of thieves can never be happy because they have no aim in life. The gross materialist thieves have no ultimate goal of life. They are simply directed to sense gratification, nor do they have knowledge of how to perform yajnas. Lord Chaitanya, however, inaugurated the easiest performance of yajna, namely Sankirtan yajna, which can be performed by anyone in the world who accepts the principles of Krishna consciousness.
Yeah. Again, Prabhupada is bringing down to us, now what is the recommended yajna for this age, which is Sankirtan yajna. Any more questions and comments about this verse?
The thing is, like, the lowest level is thinking that I am doing it, I am making the thing. That would be because I am not connected to anything, right? Not even to demigods, not to Krishna, anything. So I am doing it. So then I reap the benefit, not the benefit, reap the
reaction.
Result, reaction of that. So the demigod is one level, like I'm grateful to demigod.
Yes.
That's a little bit of gratefulness is coming.
Yes.
And then I am paying tax or whatever you want to call offerings. So the purification is already happening that way. And then the next step is ultimately, we understand that he's the proprietor.
Yes.
I'm just an instrument or whatever, part and parcel. And so then it's even more.
Yes, that's it. Yeah, that's a gradual process, as you mentioned. Yeah. Text number 13.
Yajna-shishtha-jina-santo Ujjyante sarva-kirti-shehi
यज्ञशिष्टासिना शान्तो मुच्यन्ते सर्वकिलेशे भुञ्जाते ते गहं पापा ये पचन्ति आत्मकारणात् यज्ञशिष्टासिना शान्तो मुच्यन्ते सर्वकिलेशे भुञ्जाते ते गहं पापा ये पचन्ति आत्मकारणात् The devotees of the Lord are released from all kinds of sins because they eat food which is offered first for sacrifice. Others who prepare food for personal sense enjoyment verily eat only sin. So here we can see the direct words. So Krishna himself is saying, even food, what we eat, has to be offered. Then, then they will not, otherwise what will happen? They are eating only sin. They are going to get sinful reactions.
We prepare food for sense enjoyment, then but offer to Krishna, right? So he is sin again. Because whatever we cook, we feel this is good, that's why we cook it.
Because we are in a gradual, we know ultimately, we have to come to a state where we cook for Krishna, right? We want to go there. We don't want to remain here, right? We don't want to, hopefully we don't want to remain here. Eventually we want to cook what Krishna likes and how he likes it and for him.
So is that like sattvic food?
How can we know that Krishna is
Because everything what we eat is what is like vegetarian only, for example. We won't eat whatever is not suggested, not recommended.
Right. That's then not enough, right? There are, you can go deeper, right? As our bhakti grows, we will not do it like that. We will not do it like, I want to eat pasta today. Oh, Krishna is going to eat pasta today. We will not do it. That's what we are all doing.
Yeah.
That's correct. But that's a beginning stage. Krishna knows. That's a beginning stage. At least, Krishna feels like, okay, they are offering me something. They are eating prasadam. That's good. But eventually, pure stage of that offering will be like, I want to cook with all my love and devotion for Krishna, not because I want to eat. An example I can share is that there is Srila Prabhupada's disciple, Yamuna Mataji. I don't know how many of you have heard about her, right? She is a very, she's a greatest cook among ISKCON, actually. She wrote a book also, Indian Vegetarian Cooking. We have that in the bookshop. So, she was personally trained by Srila Prabhupada in cooking. And so last, I don't know how many years back, Sharanagati, we had a japa retreat by Romapada Swami Maharaj. So she and Dinatarini Mataji, they used to stay together in an ashram and take care of the farm there and also train the kids and everything. So then she invited us to her home. So she made wonderful, rasmalai. And so with all her love and devotion, she has deities and everything, so nice, and she offered. So nicely, lovingly, she was giving, you were there, Mataji?
No, yeah.
Okay. Lovingly, she was giving every one of us. So then I was thinking, does she like to eat sweets? No, she's made so, no, but she didn't even taste a single bit. So she did everything because, their deities love to eat sweets for Krishna, and also she wants to give to devotees. So that's what I felt, that's the standard of pure devotion. And then when our purity and devotion gets more purified, then we will inquire actually, what does Krishna, is there any specific things that Krishna likes among all the vegetarian stuff, right? Then we will find out. There is a song by Bhakti Vinod Thakur where he talks about saag and all those things which Krishna eats, and sweets, milk sweets especially. So then we will find out and we will make that, even if we don't eat, we'll make it for Krishna and we give to devotees.
In morning arati also there will be one stanza.
Yeah.
In that they will say four kinds of
Food, yeah, that's correct. Chaturvidha bhajanti.
Butter is what he likes, right?
If he prepares food for a family, does that come into personal sense enjoyment or whether it is third category which is missing, I think?
No, that's also personal sense enjoyment. If it's not offered.
But it's not sense enjoyment, it is a need, right?
Are you happy when they are eating? Or will you be miserable if they don't eat? It's your soul.
What miserable?
He said, are you happy if they eat and are you miserable if you don't? So that is your enjoyment only. Right?
It's extended selfishness basically.
But there's also this thing like you keep doing your duties, right? I
mean, yes.
It's my duty to feed my family.
Yes. But at the same time, there is also yagya, right? There is also duty to give them sanctified food rather than...
So, but that's prasadam, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. So, if you have to, it's a duty to give them food. So, why don't you give them prasadam? Make the same food, offer to Krishna and give them... So, we can say, oh, it's a duty to give them food. So, okay, like I can go to a shop and give them, you know, meat. The different levels, right? So, what is the recommended way? What is the food which actually helps them become Krishna consciousness, into Krishna consciousness? We can give them food so that, you know, they can maintain their body. But eventually, you know, what kind of food we can give them in such a way that it stimulates their Krishna consciousness. That's what I'm thinking day and night. No, our kids are just, you know, eating and sleeping, right? That's their stage right now. But eventually, you know, we are hoping that, you know, they start getting into, you know, activities of Krishna consciousness. But this is what they need in order to come there. Right? Mm-hmm. Right now, this is what they need. So, even if we also not tummy full, we can't even chant our rounds. If we didn't sleep enough, we can't chant our rounds. So, what to speak of kids? Sometimes I put them together in the afternoon. Usually, I try to do some kirtan. And sometimes they'll be very sleepy. You know, they'll be so, this they're not even interested at all. Sometimes they play nicely, you know, they enjoy. Then I was thinking, oh, we are also like that. Okay, so we can continue with the purpose, all of which we covered this, right? Okay.
Mm.
Oh, we covered this verse also. Okay, we have to read this purport, right? Text number 13, purport.
The devotees of the Supreme Lord or the persons who are in Krishna consciousness are called santas. And they are always in love with the Lord as it is described in the Brahma Samhita. The santas being always in compact of love with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, the giver of all pleasures, or Mukunda, the giver of liberation, or Krishna, the all-attractive person, cannot accept anything without first offering it to the Supreme Person.
Mm.
Therefore, such devotees always perform yajñas in different modes of devotional service, such as Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Archanam, etc. And these performances of yajñas keep them always aloof from all kinds of contamination of sinful association in the material world. Others who prepare food for self or sense gratification are not only thieves, but also the eaters of all kinds of sins. How can a person be happy if he is both a thief and sinful? It is not possible. Therefore, in order for people to become happy in all respects, they must be taught to perform the easy process of Sankirtana Yajna in full Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, there can be no peace or happiness in the world.
Mm. It's very nice, right? How can a person be happy if he is both a thief and a sinful? Whatever Krishna says, you know? So does everybody know, you know, what generally is the process we follow for offering? We can just, I don't know, everybody knows or?
No.
Or how do we offer?
Prayers.
Yes.
Yeah. So we, you know, we try to use either, you know, silver plates or maybe, you know, plates which we don't eat for Krishna's, keep them separate. And then whatever we cook, we take each item, like little quantity. And then you can put tulsi leaf and then offer it to the, and put it in front of the deed, like, you know, photo or whatever it is. We have deities. And then we can do achaman. This achaman purify ourselves and then put one drop of achaman on all the items. And then so that food is also purified. And then we bow down and we pray to, like, you know, say Srila Prabhupada's pranam mantra. And then Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprana Mantra and Hare Krishna Mantra, like three times. Then basically what we are doing, we are not qualified to offer to the Lord.
Mm.
So we are praying to Srila Prabhupada to accept it and offer to the Lord. So that we are offering through the Guru Parampara. And down comes the prasadam. So like that, they take it and Krishna eventually gives us to us. So if we are initiated, we can say our Guru Pranam Mantra first. And then Srila Prabhupada's and then Panchatantra. And then wait for, you know, at least 10 minutes or 5 minutes. And then let Krishna
round,
eat.
Yeah.
Chant
one round.
Chant one round, yeah. Let Krishna eat. Then take it and mix it in our food stuff and then wash the plates. It said that, you know, we should wash the plates before we eat Krishna's plates. Then we can eat. Prasada. Honor Prasada.
The whole thing is, like cooking, we should not taste the food.
Yeah, oh yeah. I hope that's... Yeah.
That means you can give Krishna food with less salt also.
Yeah, we can offer the salt separately. Like, you know, you could offer like some bits of less... If salt is less, Krishna can add salt. So that, you know, if we are really, really pure, when we eat, we should not add salt again. So better to offer salt to Krishna. Okay. So, text number 14, we have time. Or? Okay, we can copy this.
The devotees of the Lord are released from...
Yagnabhavati bhutani parjanyadanna sambhava Yagnabhavati parjanyo yagna karma samudbhava Annabhavati bhutani parjanyadanna sambhava Yagnabhavati parjanyo yagna karma samudbhava. All living bodies subsist on food grains which are produced from rains. Rains are produced by performance of yagya, and yagya is born of prescribed duties. I don't think we have time to go to the purport, so. So here Krishna is saying that, you know, we are subsisting on food grains, but they are produced out of rains, and rains come because Indra is pleased of yagyas. Yagyas are part of our prescribed duties. So we'll cover next two verses later on, next chapter, next class, that will complete the section of Karmakanda. So any more questions or comments? So okay, write the pace. Is it, are we missing something? We are trying the new style. Okay, right? Because many points we have already discussed so many times, right? Okay, Hare Krishna.